Hello, my name is Jim Bradfield. Welcome to Ever-Changing Technology. On this show, we discuss the process of innovation in technology that forces the shift in behavior and business systems as we evolve from point A to point B. We break down the fast-moving world of innovation and give you the tools to navigate it confidently. Today's guest is Mark Venables, a seasoned executive with over 35 years of experience in business development and leadership. He's the president of the CryptoMerchant.com and other ventures, and he's here to help us understand one of the most misunderstood topics in tech, cryptocurrency. If crypto feels overwhelming or confusing, this conversation is for you. Mark, it's an honor to speak with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Great. Mark, so why does crypto seem so complicated to everyday people?
I think, you know, generally, there's just not enough information out there. I generally like to try and demystify this and humanize it somewhat, because the only information you generally come across talks about Web 3.0 or the blockchain, and it just sounds incredibly confusing. And of course, already has the name digital currency. And, you know, there's over the years, there's been a fair amount of, propaganda about cryptocurrency, with it being used for nefarious reasons, and, you know, is used in crime a lot, which isn't strictly true. Of course, everything's used in certain crimes, but it's not just reserved for crime, I can assure you. So it can be complex, but like anything, any investment vehicle, if you like, it can be relatively simple as well. I mean, it's just like learning to drive. You start off with the basics and start off with safety, I would say, to try and keep hold of your digital assets.
Okay. So what's the first step somebody should take if they want to get started?
There's several things you can do. I mean, our website is a good source of information, and it's not terribly complex. I've also written a book called Bit by Bit, which introduces people to crypto, but not in a technical way. But when I say that, it gives you more information about sort of the jargon that's used, some everyday use cases for crypto, so that it brings it into the real world. But other than that, it depends what you're looking to. If you're looking to trade crypto or invest in crypto or just explore crypto, you know, some of the exchanges, like Coinbase and so on, they have, you know, very good information as well. So there's quite a lot out there. It's just unearthing the information that suits your style.
Right. So now, can you explain what a crypto wallet is, like in simple terms, where everybody can understand it?
Oh, absolutely. So generally, you have two types of crypto wallet. You have a digital or hot wallet, which basically means it's online at one of the exchanges like Coinbase or Kraken or FTX, which we saw go bankrupt overnight a couple of years ago. Now, when it comes to cold wallets or hardware wallets, which is what I basically sell, what I deal in mostly, that takes your crypto offline. Technically, it doesn't take your crypto anywhere, but it secures it within the blockchain, and you have keys. You know what they say, you know, not your keys, not your crypto. This allows you to remove the vulnerabilities of being hacked or anything else that might happen with an exchange, whether it's hacked or whether it gets into financial difficulties or the CEO embezzles the money. You're just not going to be affected by that, and your crypto is going to be safe in a cold wallet, because as it suggests, it's cold, it's offline, and you have self-custody essentially of your own crypto, and it's protected by some very long seed phrases. So, I mean, that's the crux, the difference between the two. One's online, one's offline. One's a lot more secure.
So I'm assuming that, you know, safe choices for beginners is offline, but what would you recommend as a safe choice in the crypto world?
I mean, everyone There's many different cold wallets, and they range from a few bucks up to $500, $600. And again, it largely depends on your style or what you wish to do with the wallet. Because some of these wallets you can trade from, and some of them are biometric, some of them are air-gapped, and if you're comfortable with Bluetooth, then there's several choices there. Or if you would prefer something a little more secure, then wallets are air gapped. And there's just so many things moving forward. It's actually quite difficult to keep up with them. So, I mean, I would recommend starting off with any of the wallets on a lower level. And it's not really the wallet that is the thing you need to be careful with, because most people lose their crypto due to sort of human error. And because it's very easy to miss a decimal point, and that's been done, and people lose an awful lot of money. So I always say that whichever wallet you choose, just start off transferring a very small amount, $10 or something, until you get used to it and how it works. And there's a lot of how-to videos and that sort of thing on pretty much all of them that are available, whether it's from us or whether it's on YouTube and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't be too concerned with, go with the wallet you like, and you can always trade up or trade down.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. That's one of the biggest things. The biggest nightmare I think that I've seen is people actually, they think they're going to make millions of dollars and all of a sudden, they lose something. Is that typical what you see, or what's the run like that?
Well, to be, again, to be fair, that can be quite typical. If you were to buy stocks or shares or currency pairs, you would do your research first. And what I see is people just jump into this sometimes, and they buy them what we call meme coins or altcoins, where people have made millions. Generally, by time the fi sorry, generally by time you find out about one of these coins shooting to the moon, it's too late. So, that's, I always say, if your barber's telling you what to buy, then it's probably too late. But it's really, you're going to research any other investment, and this is exactly the same. If you're going to put any sort of money into crypto, generally, of course, they say, don't put in what you can't afford to lose. I mean, that's more so with the casino than crypto, and I don't want to liken the two, but you really need to just do the research, and I generally stay with the safe coins, the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and this sort of thing, the big boys, because you can hold on to those, and they're going to have their ups and downs. Crypto is obviously very well known for being very volatile, and if you're trading or day trading crypto, then you can lose your shirt because it is so volatile. But I have to say that's calming down. Personally, I think it's going to become less volatile just because it's being adopted so much that with adoption comes regulation, and with regulation comes lower volatility, because a lot of the regulations are designed to protect the retail trader, the mum and pops that just want to have a dabble in it, and even those that actually make quite a lot of money from it or make a living out of it. So it again, it's just doing your research. I mean, you wouldn't jump into anything else
Wow.
at
You can
first,
actually make a big living on this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's never as simple as advertised, so to speak. It does take work, it does take research, and just like trading, day trading stocks and shares, you're looking at the charts and you're trying to see buy signals and sell signals, and I don't think anyone knows where things are really going on a daily basis. So generally, unless you're going to commit time to it, it's not the best thing to dive into without, not just research, but some instruction as well.
Excellent. Yeah. So how can someone, avoid falling for scams when they're starting out? It seems like there's guys really get ripped off.
Yeah, I, you know. It's It's back to the old adage, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is. There's some, big money to be made in things like DeFi, but unless you're already pretty au fait with the crypto ecosystem, to dive into advanced things such as that is just a little foolish, unless you're especially technically minded, and you go through it. But the problem today is with AI as well, that the scams are becoming more and more intricate, and with social engineering or phishing attempts, they look so much more realistic because they are created in the image of whatever they're trying to do. And a big one is sending emails to people to say, you need to validate a wallet, plug it in, give us your seed phrase, and anything that asks for that that isn't the actual domain platform. So, Ledger would be Ledger Live, you wouldn't go somewhere else. And we do see that quite often. So with regards to those sort of things, you've just got to be so very careful, and always revert back to the manufacturer's website. Again, with cold wallets, for instance, there's the diehards always say only ever buy from the manufacturer, which, where I don't disagree with that. I mean, that is probably the safest thing to do ultimately. But there's also buying from authorized resellers like myself. They can be checked. Someone says they're an authorized reseller, you can go to whatever manufacturer it is you're looking at buying, and you can check their website. They will have an authorized reseller page, and so you will know that it comes direct from the manufacturer. To me, it's not drop shipped or comes from China or anything like that. And that it's not been tampered with. That's the main thing. If it's been opened or tampered with, you really don't know what people can do with these things. And in fact, they're creating entirely fake cold wallets, just like they would, an Apple mouse that people copy, so you could end up buying something that really isn't what it appears to be. Again, when you go to connect this to the platform, it does authenticate it generally. Of all the manufacturers that I've seen, if you're connected to the correct platform, it will tell you that this is legitimate, or this might be a little spurious. So it's just being very careful. There's claims where algorithms and AI can make you a fortune. You just set it up and it will trade for you. I mean, I'm sure that will happen, but I just don't see where you can pay $150 and for something that's going to make you millions of dollars. It's just because there would be many more millionaires if that were the case.
Right.
A lot of it, a lot of the time, it's more luck than judgment. But there's certainly a lot of professional traders that do very well, but it doesn't come after a day or two.
Well, roughly how long does it take you to learn something like this? I'm just kind of curious as to what.
I think it really depends on your dedication and your sort of ability, your technical ability. I've tried it myself, and I'm just not cut out for it. I'm not patient enough. And just trading is if you could be emotionless, which most people can't, because everything's driven by either greed or fear. Now, if you have the unique ability to ignore those and just have a system and stick to it, then there's courses that you can learn in a few weeks and be fairly proficient. But it's not always just the knowledge, it is the emotion that goes into it, the fear of losing, or as you're making money and you're on a bull run and you're supposed to take it at a certain point where you don't, because you're thinking just a bit more, and then it dives and you lose the money because you weren't disciplined enough. You went with the greed emotions because you thought you could get more. So it's not, and the other thing is, it seems very exciting, but it's really not. It's you have to be patient, and you're doing the same thing over and over again. And generally you have a system where, your profits are three times what you put in, but your stop is only the same as you put in. So you know you're going to lose 50% of the time, or sometimes more, but you can still make money. It just depends on the system. So, there's many different ways of trading out there, and all of
Well,
them I've
listen,
found
I mean,
absolutely
you've
fiction.
actually made a complicated topic feel a lot more approachable. For people that really want to learn more about the crypto merchant or get started with crypto, where can they find you?
They can go
All the
to the crypto
locations.
merchant.
Remember all of them.
So yeah, we yeah. So from my of course my British brethren, I have the cryptomerchant.co.uk, and in the US we have the cryptomerchant.com, and it has many of the things we've talked about today. And if anyone wants to get hold of me, they can email support@cryptomerchant.com or .co.uk. We'll soon be in Canada as well, a crypto merchant store called the cryptoshop.ca. So we're looking forward to that, but that's taken a little longer than we had anticipated, but it will be
Excellent.
there very shortly.
All right. Well, listen, we really appreciate it, man. It's been great talking to you.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
All right. And we're back. I'm Jim Bradfield, and this is Ever-Changing Technology here on Now Media Television. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of ever-changing technology or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right now on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So, welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. We're continuing our conversation with Mark Venables, president of the Crypto Merchant. Now, Mark has over three decades of leadership experience and a passion for helping people navigate today's most important digital questions. In this segment, we're taking a closer look at the risks and realities of crypto. See, I can't even say it, Mark. It's so
It's
difficult,
complex.
right? Yep. What's safe, what's not, and how to protect yourself. So welcome back, Mark.
Thanks
So
very much.
Mark, crypto is truly secure and private, or is that something we don't know about?
Well, crypto can be secure. If we look at it from the point of view of a digital asset, then it's up to you to secure, of course, your digital assets, whether it be a crypto currency or an NFT. Of course, the best way to do that is on a hardware wallet. But crypto or the blockchain and the contracts you can do within, they're very secure. But I think one misnomer is that crypto is completely anonymous, whereas the reality is that every single Bitcoin can be traced back through the blockchain to the second it was actually mined, if that makes sense. So it's not quite as nefarious as a lot of people w would believe, because it can be traced if you've got a good accountant, that's looking into things. There's many tools now, and I'm sure it's just going to progress, especially with AI, on
Okay,
how to track things. But
so what are the real risks of using it then? It sounds like there's not as much as, people have said.
no, I don't think there's, as the crypto and all the currencies become adopted more and there's more real world uses, they're no more, I think they're more secure than doing a bank wire, for instance. And we've seen all the issues with anything. There's always someone that's trying to get into that system, and that's what we now with crypto, of course, is decentralized. And so generally you can't hack someone's account. You'd have to hack 500,000 computers,
Wow.
because that's the whole point of the blockchain. It's being authenticated by many different computers, and if one of them has been if one of them has been hacked and it doesn't agree with all the other computers, then it's going to be kind of ignored, banished. So, because they are blocks. I mean, as the blockchain, they're chains of blocks, are chains of financial information that's being authenticated by hundreds of thousands of computers. And they could be, your own computer, could be banks of computers. So that, there's certainly, from a security point of view, it's pretty secure, but it's not impervious to human error and certain other things like that. But it's of course, it's always up to us to make sure that you're up to date with firmware updates, software updates, passwords, 2FA, and this sort of thing. So, we still got a duty to keep an eye on things and to make sure things are up to date. Because if, of course, if you don't, and then you get hacked because you're a year behind on your firmware or your software, then really it's not the fault of the crypto. It's what we need to do as well.
Right. So, I mean, essentially what you're talking about is helping people feel safe and in control is to make sure they're updated with everything they've got. And what other things would you recommend?
Just, of course, with when it comes to crypto, taking it offline is the safest thing to do. Self-custody is always the safest. Of course, that has its own protocols. I mean, you're going to want to have a hardware wallet. In addition to that, you have a seed phrase. Now, one doesn't work without the other. I mean, there's as long as you have your seed phrase, and it's not written on a piece of paper, because paper, as we know, it's not very fireproof, nor is it very waterproof or dustproof. So there's seed phrase backup tools, which could be titanium or steel, and there's various ways of saving a seed phrase, and you don't want to divulge that, because if you do have a one of the concerns is my hardware wallet gets stolen, or I lose it, or something happens, which happened to me just last year. The house gets flooded, and if it's on paper, you're going to lose it, or if it's on a computer that gets wet, you could lose the information on that computer. So these devices, as long as you have your seed phrase or your crypto keys, you're going to be able to recover your digital assets, whether you have the hardware wallet you were initially using or not.
Okay, so cold storage you talked about earlier. Now, why is that so important? What is that again?
It's so cold storage is basically means that you're taking everything offline. So, because you have self-custody, someone would have to physically have the device and your seed phrase, which essentially the seed phrase is just a very, very long, randomly generated 12 or 24 words. So, pretty tough to remember, which is why you need them to be stored somewhere safe. And then once you have, if you have self-custody, if your money's in the bank gets hacked, you still, you can lose your funds. And it's the same with crypto. If you have a cold wallet, because crypto is digital, you can't take it and put it under your bed. But so the proverbial mattress is the cold wallet or the hardware wallet, so that you're basically, your crypto is safe from being hacked. Someone needs to actually have custody of it.
Okay. So if somebody says, hey, you know what? Give me one thing that I should do to protect my digital assets. What would that be?
Just, I mean, buy a cold wallet. That's got to be the number one thing to do. And oddly enough, there's 200 people, 200 million people with crypto, and only about 10% have a cold wallet or a hardware wallet. And I've met people with a eye-watering amount of crypto online, because it's one of those things that never happens to you. It always happens to someone else. Well, I mean, unfortunately, I'm embarrassed to say it happened to me. It was a small amount, but It was on an exchange, and that exchange had financial difficulties. Someone came to the rescue, and they had just as bad financial difficulties. So it all went down, and I was fortunate enough to get my crypto back, but it did take 2 years.
Cool. Well, we really appreciate your incredibly helpful breakdown of how to stay safe in this crypto world. Viewers want to connect with you and explore your products. Where can they reach you? We talked about that before, but let us know.
I mean, go to thecryptomerchant.com, or for my British friends, wherever you are, go to thecryptomerchant.co.uk and you'll be able to find everything there. And I have a great book called Bit by Bit, so time to join the block party and get in on the coinversation. That's available on my website or on Amazon. And that's a great book for beginners to get a good general knowledge and good overview. So
Excellent.
that's what I'd recommend.
All right. We appreciate it. Well, thank you for joining us on Ever-Changing Technology. You've taken something that often feels confusing or intimidating and turned it into something practical. We really appreciate your insight, your clarity, and dedication. It's obvious that you
Absolutely.
really know your stuff, which is really what this thing's all about, right?
That was my whole plan, was because I was completely confused, and I had no idea where I was going, so I wanted to humanize it a little and demystify things.
Yep. So, to our viewers, don't be afraid to lean into the future. With the right knowledge and guidance, technology doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can be a powerful tool for growth and security. Just ask Mark. Until next time, keep asking questions, stay curious, and never stop evolving. And we're back. I'm Jim Bradfield, and this is Ever-Changing Technology here on Now Media Television. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ever-Changing Technology or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show on the Now Media TV website, www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. My name is Jim Bradfield. Some of the most recent innovations that we are seeing in the wireless and networking industries are in factories and warehouses. So these operations are really transitioning to more automated systems, such as automated robots in equipping their production machines with IoT connections and things like that. It's really actually very new. It's been around only in the last probably 5 years. So, that's relatively quick. Now, robotics within the distribution center, they commonly refer to robots, robotic arms, and automated guided vehicles, which are called AGVs, doing repetitive and physically demanding tasks. Robotics can improve warehouse management, picking, packing, sorting, transporting goods, lifting them off the shelf, putting them on the truck, that kind of thing. The most prevalent examples are automated guided vehicles, the autonomous mobile robots, that's an AMR, can move freely around obstacles. It allows the movement and transportation of materials, without the need for additional labor or conveyor systems. So think of it as you don't have a whole bunch of people within the factory moving things around or having to pick them or lift them off of lifts or anything like that. They're actually automated robots that go and pick these things off the shelves. Now, that enables increased productivity and reduced labor costs. And it also reduces the damage and allows them to scale, actually, to support growing operations. That's the really kind of the biggest deal that's happening right now is automation. Now, some of these systems have been around a while, such as we actually had robots at UCSF Medical Center. They were called Elvis and Lisa Marie. and they were deployed to deliver drugs. They went up and down the elevator and they went all over the rooms and everywhere that you were supposed to get drugs delivered to them. And so you can now see these things in a restaurant. And I was just at the United Lounge at the airport, and there was a robot right there, ready to came right up to the table. And you can put your empties and all your waste with it and all that kind of thing. So, these systems have become more complicated with more functionality. And again, picking and sorting for a warehouse, that's a really big deal. A lot of times we don't have the personnel or the number of personnel or the trained personnel to do that kind of thing. And some, actually, we end up having a lot of breakage and a lot of missorting and things like that. Well, when you actually have this kind of an animal, it's not even an animal. I say it's an animal, but it's actually a robot system. Once you have something like that, it actually knows exactly where to go on the floor. You develop a big wireless network for this thing, and you develop a charging network as well. So everything gets told to the equipment, and the equipment gets managed over the wireless. It's continually monitored, and you tune the system and things like that. I mean, it's pretty incredible to watch. If you ever get a chance to go to one of the big warehouses, go take a look at it and see what's going on in there. It's pretty phenomenal. And the biggest problem that we're seeing right now is that the networks that are being put in are not secure, and people don't know what to do with them. So one of the biggest problems is they don't have any kind of business plan for either continuity if something breaks, or configuration, proper configuration, so that these things don't get hacked. It's a really big deal from the outside. They have to be like air-gapped is what they call it, which means that the network is private inside the system, right? It's inside the factory. It's not open to the public. So we don't use standard outdoor Wi-Fi. And as soon as you can get those things configured, and as soon as you can get those things actually secured, is really what I would call it. It's an amazing functional feature that you can't believe. The ROI goes up so high on these networks, it's just pretty incredible. So that's the kind of thing that we are going to be watching in the next segment. We're going to be talking about something similar, and I just want to make sure that you guys are following this along. And if there's anybody that ever wants any questions answered for this, this is the kind of thing that our company does and has been doing for the last, 40 years, 50 years, under my command, and about since 1897 on the wireless network side. So anybody that needs to get any information, please give me a call at 925-382-0410. You can also email me at jbjr@naswireless.com. And like I said, we'll work with you guys to help you figure out what the configurations need to be on your networks and how they can be secure. So until next segment, thank you for tuning in. And we're back. I'm Jim Bradfield, and this is Ever-Changing Technology here on Now Media Television. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ever-Changing Technology or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku and iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming that's in both English and Spanish. You prefer to listen on the go, like me? Catch the podcast version of the show on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So welcome back to Ever-Changing Technology. My name is Jim Bradfield. As we've discussed many times previously, my family's been in the wireless world for over 100 years, since 1897, starting out, in the UK. We put systems together for ships for the Titanic, just about every kind of White Star Line ship that they used to have, just about everything in a marina, anywhere there is. So now we've seen a lot of things happen in the wireless industry. In the last, say, I would say the last 3 to 4 years, it's been booming with new technology. In fact, some of my guys I work with from CommScope wrote that Wi-Fi has always been seen as a black magic. You know, it's black magic to people in the IT world. One of the major issues with it is the industry developed back in 1997, they developed systems for Wi-Fi. And pretty much in 1985, they originally started Wi-Fi as well as cellular network convergence. Well, all of a sudden here in the last few years, they've developed something called Wi-Fi 6, then Wi-Fi 6E, then Wi-Fi 7. That's within 2 years. And that's enough to confuse anybody who isn't a wireless specialist. So the biggest issues in the proper design of a wireless network and providing authentication security is actually understanding what they're getting, what they're doing, and what they're working with. The security is a really big deal. So some people used to say Wi-Fi was wireless fidelity, like high fidelity record players, but that was really coined by a marketing group, and that's really not actually what it is. It's tech companies are actually making wireless devices, but there used to be no standards. Now, with the 802.11 committee and the IEEE committee, we have a lot of standards. And the latest standards that are happening is, you know, it's a move from what we called Wi-Fi 5 to Wi-Fi 6 to 6E to 7. Now, let me kind of explain that a little bit. This Wi-Fi 6 802.11x allows simultaneous transmission to and from multiple clients. Now, that's multiple clients, which previously was a bottleneck. It used to be that if you had a cell phone, for example, and you were transmitting to that cell phone, that thing would be the only thing that you could transmit with. Well, now with Wi-Fi 6, what you have is you actually have multiple client devices that can access the network. And they've gone from supporting everything to the lowest end possible, all the way to 4K and 8K video, high density, all those kind of things. It's a really huge deal. Now, you can see that they've moved into something called Wi-Fi 6E, which is now a 6 gigahertz band in wireless. Now, that's a really big deal because it's 1200 megahertz of clean spectrum in the US, and it's really 500 megahertz of clean spectrum in the EU. And that's in the EU. That's, you know, a lot, because we used to have only a little bit, like, you know, 900 megabits was about all we could do. Now we have everything that's imaginable. We have up to 48 gigabits, if you can believe that. It's absolutely awesome. It's remarkable. Now, one of the things that's happening is we've gone from the traditional, what's called WPA, and everybody who's in the wireless industry or the networking industry is going to know what that is. We went from what's WPA2 to WPA3 to support 6 gigahertz. That's actually quite a big change for everybody, because you can't really actually make this stuff work without it. Now, we also went to something brand new, which is the Wi-Fi 7 using 6 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, and 2.4 bands, just like 6. But the additional features that you can use are, there's exactly 46 gigabits per second of throughput. That's 46 gigabits per second for a single client. You know, we used to do, again, you know, very small, you know, 900 megabits was kind of like what we used to see. Well, now we're seeing a 320 megahertz wide band, which is just amazing. And it's also possible for everybody to get Wi-Fi 7 at 46 gigabits. It's actually not that usable right now, but it is real because Apple actually has it. You know, your Apple iPhone, that's going to be on there. Now, another big deal for Wi-Fi 7 users is it's something called multi-link operation. In the past, we had connected devices could only use a single Wi-Fi band. Even though we talked about you could have multi-clients come in, your one client that you're on, your laptop, et cetera, you know, that could only work on one band at a time. So you had 2.4, you had 5, you had maybe 6, you know. But now with Wi-Fi 7, devices like your smartphone, computer, et cetera, can receive data across several bands at once, all at different channels, all simultaneously. So that's going to increase your speed greatly and also reduces latency and gives you a much more reliable connection. So what I would like to make sure that everybody understands is that our company has been around working with systems for almost every application there is. We actually run airports, we run hospitals, we run networks for you know, car dealerships, manufacturers, that kind of thing. So anybody that needs any support or any help or any interest in understanding further what's going on, be sure to give us a call and let us know what's happening in your group, and we will make sure to take care of you. It's jbjr@naswireless.com. It's 925-382-0410. And the company is NAS Wireless. So until next time, always be innovating, always be looking ahead, and always have fun.